The Lord be with you.
With your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. And Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard it said of old, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other one as well. And if anyone wishes to go to law with you over your tunic, hand him over your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on the one who wants to borrow. You have heard it said of old, 'You shall love your neighbor, but hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good alike, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not tax collectors do as much? And if you greet your brothers and sisters only, what is unusual about that? Do not pagans do as much? So be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord. You will find upon reflection that this gospel reading, taken from the book of Matthew, can be very invasive and demanding of us as followers of Jesus Christ. It's taken from what we know to be the Sermon on the Mount, which appears only in Matthew's gospel, a long section, chapter 5, 6, and 7. And in there, what Matthew has done, he's collected many of Jesus' homilies about various issues and formed them into one long narrative and called it the Sermon on the Mount, which we call the Sermon on the Mount. On the Mount is important in Matthew because the Jewish gospel has this notion that God spoke on the mountain. Moses encountered God on the mountain. The transfiguration happens on the mountain. Mount of Olives has its own presence in the life of Jesus, and the crucifixion happens on an elevation. So the notion of God speaking and teaching from the mountain is very important in the Jewish tradition of Matthew. There's a parallel in the Gospel of Luke. Mark and John don't mention it, but Luke in chapter 6 has a shorter version, and it's called the Gentile Gospel of Luke. It's called the Sermon on the Plain. Now, why is one on the mount and one on the plain becomes a matter of discussion elsewhere. But listen to the radical teaching of Jesus here. It has a certain hyperbole in it, and yet it has a down-to-earth, very demanding teaching for us. The first one is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now that could have huge implications for us. Take a thing like the death penalty. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus says this comes in they come from the Torah. All of these sayings come from the first 5 books of the Old Testament, the Torah. And this is called the Lex Talionis. And the Lex Talionis, in its origin, was put in there to restrict the kind of response that was lawful to an injury given. Therefore, if somebody killed one of your tribe, you were not allowed to kill 10 of the other tribe. Somehow, this was meant to be a restraint. But Jesus says, not enough. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is not the way we want to live in the new dispensation of Jesus Christ. The second one, if somebody slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek. Keep in mind that a right-handed person, which would have been more common at that time, a right-handed person striking you on the right cheek would strike you with the back of the hand. And the back of the hand was considered a more invasive insult. Struck with the back of the hand is a double insult. And Jesus says, don't react. In the Lex Talionis, it's a matter of eye for an eye, getting even. Don't get even, Jesus says. In this one, he says, don't react. Turn the other cheek. Be a person of peace. The third one has to do, if somebody goes to court with you over the tunic, over the shirt, give them your cloak as well. Now, that's very radical in the time of Jesus. The cloak was the outer garment. It was indispensable to the life of a person in the time of Jesus. It protected them from the climate. It also was their sleeping bag. They slept with this cloak around them. So much was it in demand at the time of Jesus that if a cloak was pledged for borrowing or whatever reason, it had to be returned to the person before sundown. That's how important it was. So Jesus says, even though it's essential for your life, if somebody wants your shirt, give them the cloak as well. That's a radical statement by Jesus. In the time of Jesus, you had an occupying army, the Roman army, and they could place their sword on the shoulder of a person and demand that they walk 1 mile and carry their baggage. Remember Simon of Cyrene? He was ordered to carry the cross behind Jesus. And Jesus says, even though you will resent the invasion of a foreign person making you carry their baggage for 1 mile, go the extra mile. And we have our colloquial sayings of going the extra mile, give the shirt off your back, turn the other cheek. It's become colloquial language now, but it's all rooted in the teachings of Jesus. And therefore, he said, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That has caused more misunderstanding and more anxiety for people who read it. The Greek word for perfect is teleios, and it does not mean moral perfection. It means wholeness. Be whole. Be complete. Be mature as your heavenly Father is. What does this mean? Bless, forgive, be kind, be gracious, be whole, just as the mandate that Jesus gives in this proclamation, it means to be whole. There's a certain hyperbole here, but there's a fundamental teaching which is very important. Now, it has a large canvas of application. What does this mean to us? It contradicts the world. There's worldly value and the values of the kingdom of God. The proclamation in this gospel reading today contradicts all that the world says. You don't have to get even. You don't have to react. You can be exceedingly generous. You can go the extra mile. Somebody who's undeserving, go the extra mile. Somebody who imposes on you, give generously. It contradicts everything the world says. So how does this apply to us? Well, deep inside of every one of us, we carry wounds. And all of this is related to what happens in relationships. Intimate, personal relationships. Kind of, if you think that marriage is meant to be 50-50, it's never 50-50. Everybody knows that. I don't know if it's 60-40, whatever it is, but 50-50 is a demand. That's when you keep a score. That's not what's spoken about here in the Word of God. But we do carry deep inside of us resentments. The offense given to us. We were misunderstood. We were judged. We might have been betrayed. But there's a wound. We're carrying something deep inside of us. A resentment. A certain judgment about another person. A reaction to the other person. It's like ammunition we keep. And by the way, the longer we hold the offense inside of us, the larger it grows. And it wakes us up at night and we think about it and we rehearse our response. I mean, the next time he says that, this is what I should have, and I should never have let her get away with that. And the next time it happens, and we build an ammunition, a whole kit of ammunition. And then one day, I've been waiting for this day, something happens and I say, by the way, let me remind you that on May 1st, 2019, and then way back in 2018, and I pull all the ammunition out and I blow the person away with the ammunition because I've been holding all this stuff deep inside myself to get even, to react, to tell the person what I really think. I've been holding it. And I'm wounded. I'm a walking wounded person because I'm carrying all this stuff inside of me. I'm not free. I'm burdened down. I'm restricted. I measure the blessings I give. I want to deal only with those who deserve. There are certain people in our society who don't deserve. They don't deserve to be here. They should get a job. They're homeless. Why don't they get a job? They don't deserve it. They haven't earned it. And Jesus says, do they need? When I was young at the cathedral downtown on Skid Row, when I was first ordained, and a wise young 24-year-old, and we get every kind of a story. Everybody would come in and say, by the way, I have a job in San Bernardino tomorrow morning, and I need a fare to get $10 to get there. You get every kind of story you couldn't imagine. And I developed a response that says, and the guy would tell me, I used to serve Mass for Father Murphy in Brooklyn for years. My family were very close friends of Father Murphy. And so I think I should be able to come to the church. And I'd say, okay, I'll tell you what, why don't you wait here for a few moments? I'll go in and call Father Murphy in Brooklyn. And if he tells me that he knows you and all you're telling me is true, I'll give you anything you want. But if he doesn't know you, I won't give you anything. And I come back 2 minutes later, he's gone. So then I began to think to myself, I think I shouldn't give because the person deserves it. I should give because the person needs it. Not that they deserve it, no judgment now. And if he needs a few bucks for a beer, if I was on Skid Row, I would lie to get a few dollars for a beer. Maybe you wouldn't because you're a little bit ahead of me, but there's always a place where a need becomes more important than what a person deserves. So think about that. That's the kingdom of God. That's what this says. So think about the times you wake up at night and you think about this person. Think about the resentments you carry, the jealousy, the judgment, the division you carry. Think about the times you have to have the last word. You have to control. You have to be dominant. All signs, the restrictions and the wounds I carry deep inside myself. And Native Americans tell us this parable about the young brave, this young man, is struggling in his life. And he goes to a wise man and he says, I'm struggling. It's as if there are two wolves inside of me. I'm so conflicted. I'm burdened down with this conflict. I can't concentrate. I can't have a vision because of the conflict inside of me. It's as if there are two wolves fighting inside of me. One is a fierce, angry, violent wolf, and the other wolf is kind and caring and generous. And the wise men said, which wolf is winning? And he said, depends on which one I feed the most. We feed the resentments. We feed the wound. We bury it. And that's what this gospel is about. Walk in freedom. Let go. Most of the stuff that divides us is not important. And almost all divisions that happen in close relationships. If you get insulted by the man at the gas station, it doesn't matter. But if that happens in a family, or that happens in a close relationship, or if that happens in the workplace, then I carry it and I bury it. Don't worry, it's just sitting under the surface. It weighs me down. It's ammunition that is very heavy. Ammunition is heavy and it weighs you down. It slows you down. And until you come up someday and say, I don't need this ammunition. That ammunition belongs to the world. In the kingdom of God, I will be free. I will forgive the person who doesn't earn it. I will bless the person who doesn't deserve it. I will give generously without having recognition. That's one of the big issues. You know what, all I did for you, and this is what I get? Which means it really wasn't that generous what I did for you. I want to be paid back. So it's a trade. Why give generously? I don't need recognition. I don't need your response. I just want to bless you. Now, that's what it means, teleos. So it says, be perfect. Be whole. We're wounded. We're diminished. Follow the word of God and you will become whole. You'll become free. You don't cling to things. You're not worried about things. You're not anticipating a response from someone else. You're free. That's what the word of God is speaking about today. So, listen to this word of God, my friend. What is most personal is most universal. I listened to this word of God and I found all sorts of ghosts inside of myself. So I've been carrying this for years. And the name comes up and all of a sudden you say, oh yeah, I remember. Do you know this person? Oh yeah, let me tell you about this person. So be free, let go. Let the power of the Holy Spirit heal you. Life isn't 50-50, nothing is 50-50. But for me, it doesn't have to be that way. Because in the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm free, free. You don't have to agree. You don't have to support me. I'm going to bless you anyway. That's freedom. There is a story I'll finally tell you about the holy man who stands before the power of the samurai warrior. And the warrior flexes his muscles and says, holy man, do you realize I have the power to drive this sword through your heart without blinking an eye? Holy man, peaceful as he was, says, warrior, do you realize I have the power to allow you to drive that sword through my heart without blinking an eye? That's freedom. That's the kingdom of God. That's what this word of God means. So take the word of God with you today. Take it into your closest relationships. Take it into your family. Take it to your workplace. Take it wherever you go and say, the word of God calls me to be free. To be free. To be free. Amen. And now I have a little business to do here, because Cambria isn't here this morning, so she asked me to make this announcement, and I am happy to do it because I believe in it. It's about Together in Mission. Now, last Sunday we had Ellie Hidalgo from Dolores Mission give us a very inspiring insight into parishes and schools in the Archdiocese, 64 parish, 75 schools, who depend on Together in Mission for survival. And we are so blessed. And I know that every one of you wants to support Together in Mission. You may have overlooked the envelope. You may not have received it in the mail. It's in the pew today, or it should be in the pew today. If it isn't, let me know and I'll get an envelope for you. But our Holy Family, we have never been short of our goal. Our goal is 127,000, and we have never been under our goal. That's not Holy Family. Holy Family is a generous, faithful people. I know, I've been with you for 36 years, and I know that you want to support poor parishes. And look, we are so blessed. We are so blessed. Let the Spirit move you. You can give a small gift or a big gift. Every gift comes from the heart. Every gift is precious. You can give it one time, a credit card. You can give it over a period of time. But please take a second look at Together in Mission and please do support it. Now, Cambry asked me to do that. I am very happy to do it because I believe in this Together in Mission outreach. We belong to these struggling places. They belong to us. So that's my invitation. And I want you to think about making sure you take the envelope. Amen.